May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Sunday, the rector of Emmanuel Baltimore preached a challenging and inspiring sermon on gratitude. He wove together themes of thanksgiving with a vision of God's kingdom. Christ's reign, as he put it, is marked by justice, compassion, and equity. It breaks into our lives now, and we long for its fulfillment. Preparation for Thanksgiving was therefore about far more than turkey and pumpkin pie. It involved a change of heart. It meant seeing the world through a different lens. It meant responding with compassion and joy, responding to God and to our neighbour with all that we are, as well as all that we have. That is a compelling vision. But in our fragile and complex world, the day after Thanksgiving is Black Friday. The BBC website listed 10 things we Brits might not know about its origin, essentially a day of pre-Christmas, heavily discounted shopping. The concept of Black Friday has made it across the Atlantic. From John Lewis to Amazon to Asda, stores are offering unbelievable deals on high-end products with 50% or more off the asking price. Shoppers stripped the shelves. Websites added to the psychological pressure with timings counting down the minutes until the sale came to an end. There was frenzy, mayhem, and even violence amidst the frantic scrambling and snatching at bargains. How timely then, as we face this Advent Sunday, to read Pope Francis's apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, the joy of the gospel. In it he writes, "The great danger in today's world, pervaded as it is by consumerism, is the desolation and anguish born of a complacent yet covetous heart, the feverish pursuit of frivolous pleasures, and a blunted conscience. Whenever our interior life becomes caught up in its own interests and concerns, there is no room for others, no place for the poor. God's voice is no longer heard. The quiet joy of his love is no longer felt. And the desire to do good fades." Black Friday, the relentless and feverish pursuit of pleasure and possession. Advent Sunday, the beginning of a season of watching and waiting. We now embrace a time of adjusting our eyes to see the glimmering light of God amidst the garish sparkles of consumerism. Pope Francis invites all Christians at this very moment, at the start of this new year, to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ. An encounter which enables a dignified and fulfilled life. He invites us to take a risk, to step towards Jesus, only to find him waiting for us before we even are aware that we are waiting for him. We are inspired and encouraged in that waiting by the prophets and by the epistles. Advent Sunday marks the counting of days as space for reflection, rather than a frenzy of shopping hours. Days and weeks stretch out ahead of us. We wait to celebrate with great joy the birth of our Saviour. But more than that, we wait for his coming again, for the fulfillment of God's kingdom. We wait in expectation. We wait for the day of the Lord. And in our second reading, we are reminded that that day could come at any moment. We are to live every moment in anticipation and preparation and readiness for his coming. We are not to be complacent. Our calling is to be children of the light and of the day. The one for whom we wait in birth has already wrought our salvation in his death. We are to keep awake. We are to be sober. We are to live in faith, hope, and love. In those words, we are to find encouragement, and we are to encourage others. Micah gives substance to such faith, hope, and love made manifest in the establishment of God's kingdom. It is a vision which is radical in the particular and in the global. It is about our place and about our movement in God's world. The house of the Lord will be raised up and people will stream to it. In that we are challenged in our own vocation. Why might people stream up to Stag Hill? Of course, people will come for many reasons, concerts, fairs, exhibitions, and dinners, and we welcome them. However, the words on the lips of the pilgrims are quite clear. They come to the house of God to worship. They come to be taught God's ways and to walk in his paths. They come to learn. Worship and learning are at the heart of this place. In praise, lament, and silence, we worship God. In art, conversation, and teaching, we learn together. Worship and learning enable us to pursue wisdom, equipping us to walk in God's paths. Here, God's voice is heard. The quiet joy of his presence is felt. The desire to do good is reignited. The challenge of God's kingdom is immense. It requires a transformation of our hearts, minds, actions, and relationships. It is seen when swords and spears are beaten into plowshares and pruning hooks, and when swords are laid aside. The ways of war are not to be learnt. Instead, all people shall have a place to sit, a place where they eat the fruit of their own fig trees, and there is no more fear. Our habits of attention and waiting, of worship and learning, equip us to learn those disciplines of patience, of trust. For it is in God's kingdom that the weak and afflicted, those who have been marginalized and have no place, will be gathered together. It is out of that remnant that a strong and peaceable people will emerge. Such a vision touches the core of our being and renews our longing, not for relentless acquisition, but for stability. The season of waiting in faith, hope, and love means adjusting our eyes to see the light of God and changing our habits to walk in his ways. May this season become rich in meaning for us. Such meaning has a divine logic in which we can participate. It is a logic expressed poetically by R.S. Thomas in his poem Kneeling. I will end with that poem because, in the words of Tim Williamson, it has a precise and radical imagination, an elegant and powerful form. Depth is achieved through scrupulous accuracy. May we hear this poem as our prayer this Advent. Moments of great calm, kneeling before an altar of wood in a stone church in summer, waiting for God to speak. The air a staircase for silence. The sun's light ringing me as though I acted a great role. And the audience is still, all that close throng of spirits waiting as I for the message. Prompt me, God, but not yet. When I speak, though it be you who speak through me, something is lost. The meaning is in the waiting. Amen.
Hymn 563. I'm so sorry. Hymn 590.
Christ, the Son of God, shine on you, scatter the darkness from before your path, and make you ready to greet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen.